Good morning, and welcome to another in the series, Reading the Word. Good to have you here with us again this morning.
Oh, Jesus.
We're always glad to have you with us. We love bringing this program to you as much as anything that we do.
Amen.
And I really, truly believe this is one of my most favorite things I've ever done. And I've really enjoyed a lot of the ministry. You're supposed to enjoy the work of the ministry. And so, to just be able to sit down, read the Word, share a little bit, and do it every day. What a point of accomplishment. Do you realize that today is day number 299? 299. So.
That's amazing. Wow.
Wow. If you've never done anything and completed it that was major, start in Genesis. There's a playlist right down there. And finish it. Finish it. Go all the way through it. Make yourself go all the way through it. It'll be a severe blessing to you. We got a new process going this morning, so I have to make a statement. I made it private, so you're not going to be able to see it.
Okay.
But
I'll quit looking then.
Wait, everybody just pause.
No, that's okay.
No, everybody just pause. Watch this. It's just proof that in this day that we live, right in the middle of doing something, we can actually do something. Jeez. Okay. So, right in the middle of doing that, we didn't. No, you know, I welcome every one of you. And I tell you, we've learned so much in this. About being a part and working in the kingdom and doing what we got to do. It's in your text message on your phone.
There it is.
There it is. Those in the live studio audience, if you please mute your cell phones and all electronic devices so they don't make unwanted, unneeded technological beeps.
Got it.
No, what I want you to see most of all is I'm not some big tech guru. I just sit here and say, show me, God. Show me. Help me get this done. And then he does. All right. So, let's say our opening prayer like we always do. Hold your Bibles up. We'll make our confession. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's Word says.
I believe what God's Word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because He is the great I am.
Because He is the great I am.
I receive the Word of God.
I receive the Word of God.
And plant it as a seed.
And plant it as a seed.
In the good soil of my heart.
In the good soil of my heart.
Producing a hundredfold return.
Producing a hundredfold return.
And more.
And more.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
And
amen. Luke chapter 12. Is that where we're at? Oh. Luke. Kind of changed everything here this morning, but it's all right. I think this process is going to work for us much more betterly. Don't know if you know what a much more betterly is or not. Luke chapter 12. Here we go. And today, Jesus is going to be dealing with beware of hypocrisy. And then, he's also going to be dealing with some parables and some miracles. But that's pretty much what Jesus did every day. He set people free. The religious people got mad. He dealt with their hypocrisy, and then he moved to another village and set some more people free and made the religious people mad and dealt with their hypocrisy. And in the process of that, probably thousands, tens of thousands of people, maybe hundreds of thousands of people, lives were changed forever before he left the earth. And he said to you and me, these things and greater will you do in my name. My. Here we go. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together, innumerable. Now, you did notice that the miracle of the 4,000 was numerable. Miracle of the 5,000 was numerable. This is an innumerable multitude of people. So that they trampled one another. That's severe.
Yeah.
He began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. What you have spoken in the ear, in the inner room, will be proclaimed on the housetops. There's a good verse to speak against all of this absolute wickedness in our nation and perversion. It's trying to strip you of your parental rights and cause all of our daughters to have abortions and wound their soul and their spirit. What they said in the darkness, in the ear, in the inner room, reveal it from the housetops, Jesus. Verse 4, I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no power, have no more that they can do. I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he has killed has power to cast you into hell. Hello, wake up. It's Jesus teaching it. You can't take it out of the Bible. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten by God? That will expand your mind so far.
Yeah.
2 sparrows, we got like 50 out on our porch. The very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are more valuable than many sparrows. And hair. Verse 8, I also say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him, the Son of Man, also will confess before the angels of God. He who denies me before men will also be denied before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. That's serious. Now, you can't take those words out of the Bible. You can write a new Bible. But then the curse in Revelation comes upon you. And God said he'll add all these curses to those who change this word. God help us. Now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authority, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Then one from the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. He said to him, Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? He said to him, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Let it soak in. That's not what makes your life successful. He spoke a parable saying to them, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room for this to store my crops? He said, I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will all those things be that you have provided? So he who lays up treasure for himself and is not, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. What makes you rich toward God? Souls in the kingdom. God considers wealth. You and I put the souls in the kingdom. He that winneth souls, the proverb says, he that winneth souls is wise. The book of John says, he that winneth souls receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life. I totally looked away. 22. Do not worry, he said to his disciples. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or your body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Nobody. If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one, not the whole valley of them, one of these lilies of the field. If God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows that you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. It's our Father's good pleasure. You can literally pray in the morning, Father, pour out your good pleasure upon me, the kingdom of God. This is what you and I are reaching for. Sell what you have. Give alms. Provide yourselves money bags, which do not grow old. A treasure in the heavens that does not fade. Where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. 35. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. 37. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so. Blessed are those servants. Whatever watch he comes in, when you and I are watching for him, God said, you are blessed because of it. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. 41, Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise servant whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, that he will make him ruler over all that he has. You know, it's just like you and I being here at this, in this program. Some of you might do this while you're driving to work. That's all right. But don't just drive to work and let it be noise in the background. Pay attention. Mary and Martha, we read about them yesterday, 2 days ago. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. Martha could hear Jesus, but she was busy. So when you come to a spiritual situation like this, give your attention to it. Why? Because that's what builds the wisdom of the word on the inside of you. If you're just catching a word here and there, it's not going to establish you in the things of God like you want it to. It'll establish some, and you'll look at them like, they're listening to the same thing as I am. What's wrong with me? Well, nothing, except you might need to tweak how you are listening. Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, be careful what you hear. And then he said, be careful how you hear. Because if you hear in the midst of everything else, now you're not getting a full hearing. Dr., what was his name? Leroy Thompson, man, at that one faith conference, he's like, don't give me no
familiar
hearing. I'm like, you tell him, Doc. I think I'm in 39. No, I am in 44. But if the servant says in his heart, my master is delaying, it's coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of the servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. That servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving him stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. One person said to me, see, Pastor, that's why I'm not going to read the Bible, because then it won't be required of me. That doesn't work. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Verse 49. I came to send fire on the earth, and now I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. You see what Jesus just said there? He's got to go to the cross, and he's distressed. Do you suppose that I came to bring peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. From now on, five in one house will be divided three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He said also to the multitudes, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, a shower's coming. And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be hot weather, and there is. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? Yes, and why even of yourselves do you not judge what is right? When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drag you to the judge. The judge deliver you to the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you shall not depart from there till you have paid the very last mite. Wow. That's a good chapter. A lot of warning in there. But you got to think about what we just saw. Jesus came in, healed the sick, great crowd. This multitude was trampling each other. There were so many of them. And what did he begin to do? He began to preach. The Pharisees began to act up. He confronted their hypocrisy and gave wisdom to everybody else that's there. This is what Jesus does every day of his life. He came to set the captive free, open the blind eyes, and set at liberty those that are bruised. And religion is a serious bruise in your life if you don't realize that yet. 13. There was present at that season some who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus. Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that those Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all the other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you also will perish. I want you to think about this. It's why Jesus tells us over and over to forgive somebody who's offended you. Because who's the worst sinner, you or them? We always look at everybody else's sin as worse than ours. But you've sinned just as much as they have. If you don't forgive them, you don't get forgiveness. Jesus judges your forgiveness. He's going to give you by how much you give them. And please get it right, because eternal damnation is not just fire. It is no presence of God. People are like, oh, I'm going to just burn. We'll have a big party. No, there's no presence of God, no characteristic of God in that place. So you do not want to go there.
You know, that's one of the things. That concerns me about all of these Halloween decorations, because they have all of these skeletons and ghosts and whatever laughing and partying and having a good time, and it gives people the idea that there's going to be a good time in hell, and there's not. There is no laughter, there's no dancing, there's no fun.
As soon as the rich man hit hell, Hades, he said to Father Abraham, please send Lazarus, the beggar that was at my door my whole life, send him to bring some water and cool my tongue, because I don't want anybody here in this torment. Yeah. See, if you don't believe the Bible, you're in trouble. Because it don't matter who's told you, don't worry about the Bible. There is coming a day when you will stand before the writer of the Bible, who is the greatest, the God of the greatest love there's ever been. And you will be judged by this book. He's a God of love. Don't listen to people that tell you to put this away, because he loves you. Verse 6. You got more to say? Mm-mm. You're welcome to. You have 45,000 words or something to say today. 6. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, and he found none. He said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why does it take up the ground?" He answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, if it does not, after that you can cut it down." Jesus said that for a reason. We must bear fruit. 10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bent over, and could in no ways rise herself up. In no way. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which man ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath." He's the ruler of the synagogue. 15. The Lord then answered him and said, "You hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath lift his donkey or ox from the stall and lead it away to water? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from the bond of the Sabbath?" When he had said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced that they were put to shame, for all the glorious things that were done by him. The parable of the mustard seed. And he said, "What is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took, put in his garden, and it grew, and became a large tree. And the birds of the air nested in that, in its branches." The parable of the leaven. And again he said, "What shall I liken the kingdom of God to? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till it was all leavened." And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then one said to him, "Lord, are there few who are saved?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able to." When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door saying, "Lord, Lord, open us up for us," he will answer and say to you, "I do not know you. Where are you from?" And you'll begin to say, "We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in the streets." He will say, "I tell you, I do not know you. Where you are from, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity." It doesn't get any more plain than that. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. Then they will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed there are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last. On that very day, some Pharisees came saying to him, "Get out, depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons, perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must journey today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem." Because the blood of the prophets will be on the backs of the Jerusalem. 34, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. And assuredly, I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And that is the triumphant entry. So, circle the wagons. Wow. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite. And make sure that everything you're doing to the glory of God. And you're seeking first the kingdom of God. Amen. And then, listen, you and I are not going to understand every single doctrine of the Bible by the time Jesus comes. Just give yourself diligently every day to gaining the next bit of wisdom that you can gain. That's the answer for every one of our lives. And so, in the mighty name of Jesus, may you be blessed to diligently follow him. Nobody can judge your diligence. Only you and Jesus. Only you and Jesus can judge your diligence. And be diligent and study. It's not going to be that long, guys. This world is on the edge of the rapture. And it would be awesome if we had another 20 years to evangelize the whole world. I would love that. Yeah. I don't know. I honestly don't see it, but it's all right, Jesus. You're the boss. Like that meme I posted today of Opie talking to Andy saying, so when's the rapture going to happen? He goes, I don't know. I'm not a part of the planning team. I'm a part of the welcoming team. Got to stay ready. Got to keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Have plenty of oil. Because you don't want to have that day where the rapture happens and all the believers you know are gone and you're left here. You do not want that day. That is going to be a horrible day of despair for many people. Let's pray the prayer of salvation. Thank you, Father. Pray this with me, and in 2 minutes, you'll be right with God, no matter what. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day. Just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your hands out and say, I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Forgive me of my sins, Jesus.
Forgive me of my sins, Lord.
Wash me with your blood.
Wash me with your blood.
Make me white as snow.
And make me white as snow.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
And pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Live a successful life as a believer. Pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. And amen. Now, for those of you that just prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Your life just changed. You went from darkness to light because Jesus, the light of the world, is in here. And God never does something to you. He takes you from to. You went from fear to faith because you no longer have to be afraid. Your sins were wiped away and thrown into the sea of His forgetfulness forever. There'll be a timestamp in this video, in the comments, in the notes, that you can go look at and click on Prayer of Salvation and come back and hear every one of these words again. God just adopted you into His family. You're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Right here, right now, today. And He brought you to this body of believers. It's a great body. We have great, amazing, fired up Christians going out into their world, changing their world. And we want you to be one of them too. Stick with us. From now on, all you got to do is walk with God. Now, that's a challenge some days. You've got that stupid driver in front of you and that mouthy person at work or whatever. You might even be the mouthy person at work. That's worse than being than just being able to recognize the mouthy person is when you recognize it is myself. But God has made you a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. And you are in for a brand new life. A lot of people say, well, Pastor, how do I know how to be a Christian? Walk with God every day. When you wake up on in your bed in the morning, or you jump out, crawl out, or fall out, just say, Father, help me walk with You today. And then all day long, talk to Jesus like He's your elder brother standing right there with you. Because He is. Ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom. And He'll give it to you. Because they live in here. Live in here. You are literally filled with the Holy Spirit of God in your life. How amazing is that? Absolutely amazing. Click like, hit subscribe, ring the bell, and be a part of our community of faith. Because we love bringing this to you. Jesus' mighty name. My email address is there in the details. Send me an email, hgpreacherman@gmail.com. And God said, told you to sow a seed, sow it. It's good ground. We're making a difference in the lives of many people all over the world. And we want you to be a part of that too, in Jesus' mighty name. So, until we see you again, this is what we have to say. Remember this. We love you. God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. Even when we change what we usually say. All right. See you soon. God bless you. Share it with your family and friends and everyone around you. You'd be surprised who would want to hear about the Bible.